So we're going to look at Psalm 103. I thought it might be nice just to read it through and just to absorb some of the things it says. Starts off very well. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'd like a bit of that. Having youth renewed like the eagles. But praise God for his blessings. The Lord executed righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He maketh known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in pleasure, in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as far as the heaven is higher above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and its place no it remembered is it no and its place remembers it no more. But the mercies of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When I was reading this yesterday and today, and I've been looking at it on occasions during the week and the month that we've had to think about it, one of the things that I pondered on, because of what's been said from the platform over the last few weeks, it says... For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is the mercy towards those who fear him. Mercy of God, the blessings of God are upon us, and it's as far as the heavens are above the earth. How far is that? We don't know, do we? 900 light years so far they've found things out into the heavens, and God put the stars in their place. In the beginning, God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and put them in their place in the heavens. And it used to be a one company of people that went around and said, how can the number of the people of Israel be more than the stars in the sky in number? It says that in one of the verses in the Old Testament. They used to query, because you say, we can count the stars till they got a better telescope. Then they could count them again till they got a better one. Now we know that we've got not just our galaxy, but it's galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies. How high is heaven above the earth? It's an you can't number. You can't say well, it's so many years. It's so many light years, which I'd forget what a light year is, but it's a long, long time. And the latest galaxy that's been seen, Pastor was talking about the pearl that was as big as the earth. There is one of the main star of this galaxy, they say, as when they've gone up, seen it on the telescope or wherever they look in at it with, it's got the main star of the galaxy has got a cross. The shadow on that particular star is a cross. So God's saying to me, I know every star by name. Imagine trying to name them ourselves. We couldn't do it, but He can. So I just thought the mercies of God, the faithful favor of God is upon us. It's so much upon us. It's so great. It's higher than the heavens. So it's an area. So how much grace has God given to you? How much mercy has He given to me? It's so vast that we can't even fathom it. Then it goes to say, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our sins and transgressions from us. As far east from west. You thought about it. When I go north to south, I get to a point that going, if I'm going from the north to the south, I get to a point where I start going south to north, but not in east and west. You start walking east, you keep walking east and walking it. It's something that you can't find west if you walk east. You have to turn around and then you find west. So it's as near as it could possibly be, yet it's as far away as any. So God's removed our sins, our transgressions from us. He's taken away the things that have once blighted our lives. He's removed them to such an extent that we cannot fathom how far away they are. Because if you kept walking east, you just keep walking and walking. You never come to a point where it suddenly changes to west. North to south it does, but east to west it doesn't. And that's the same with if you turn, is it 360 degrees, turn around completely, look the other way, you'll be going west then. So you then see west, but you have to turn around. And I believe that the Lord is saying to us, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. One part says he's cast them into the depth of the sea of His forgetfulness. That's good enough for me, we used to sing. Let me say to you that your sins and your iniquities, the things that have happened in the past that He has forgiven, those things have been put behind His back, never to be remembered against you anymore. And it's in one of the verses says, he's put them in the sea of His forgetfulness. Somebody once tells the story of a Negro man. He always found something to praise God about. When he was sat quiet one day and he was told he mustn't shout out unless he. When he suddenly realized that the ocean, the deepest ocean that we have, is thousands of fathoms deep, and that's where God's put His sin, he couldn't help but get up and praise God. God's forgotten them. You can't forget. I can't forget. I can remember way back when I was a little boy of four. I can remember right back in all those years. I can remember them. And there's none of them. I sometimes forget them until someone reminds me. And when I'm reminded, I remember them again. We have memory. As far as our sins and our iniquities, the things that hold us back from meeting with God is concerned, He said He puts them behind His back, never to be remembered against you anymore. So bless me. I've been blessed over this psalm for many years. In fact, that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed them. And that's a distance that you cannot fathom, because God says they're no longer there. As far as I'm concerned, they're forgotten. You've been given a clean slate and a new slate to go forward in Him. So those two verses blessed me as I read them. The other verses did as well. I could, almost, especially the beginning and the end, They really bless me, but the blessings of God upon us tonight, and as we allow Him to come into our lives and we live for Him, He can take away those things, and He can do those things that we need. He can meet our every need. Amen. Dan. I'm sure Steve's got something to say. Come on, Steve.
Is that a good thing? Steve's always got something to say.
Oh.
Hey? Steady, David. What a great psalm. We've done a few, haven't we? And this psalm, when you read it, you think, how did they know about Jesus? Because it points forward to Jesus. How did they know? And time and time again, when you read stuff in the Old Testament, you think, well, that's about Jesus. And yet it's hundreds of years before. And of course, this book just points to Jesus, doesn't it? Everything is about Jesus. And this is a joyful psalm, a psalm full of joy, full of blessings, full of the things that the Lord has done for us. And some of the things that He has done for us, I just want to mention. Right from the beginning, in verse 3, it says, He has forgiven our sins, forgiven our iniquities. Which is what it's all about, folks. This is what it's all about. Jesus died for our sins. And this is hundreds of years before saying that the Lord has forgiven our iniquities. And healed our diseases. What does it say? He was bruised for our iniquities. Was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. So again, looking forward to what Jesus did on the cross. The Old Testament God was a God of healing, as well as the New Testament, the Old Covenant, as well as the New Covenant. Verse 4, He has redeemed us, bought us. This is the Old Testament, remember. We think Jesus bought us through His death on the cross, and so He did. But this was hundreds of years before that it says that God has redeemed us, bought us, paid a price for us, and crowns us with love and tenderness. Often people talk about God and say that God is an angry God. God is a God that punishes. Actually, He's a God of love, as Andrew has put up there and often refers to. Our God is a God of love. And then in verse 5 it says, He feeds us, renews our strength. And you will often hear Andrew tell you to read your Bible, because reading your Bible is feeding on the Word of God. And without getting fed, you'll starve, you'll waste away. And so it is important for us to read the Word of God and be fed, just as this psalm feeds us. And as we read, we renew our strength. And my favorite verse, wait on the Lord, be of good courage and He shall strengthen our hearts. That's great. And then it says that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, full of mercy. It's a good job He's slow to anger. Because what are we? We're just human sinners, born in sin and needing of His forgiveness. So He is slow to anger and full of mercy. And then it says in this chapter that He has not dealt with us according to our sin. Well, that's a good job, isn't it? Because we've all sinned and come short of His glory. And if we got what we deserved, well, that would be another story. Thank God that he has not dealt with us according to our sin. But as David has said, and as this chapter said, he has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And that always blesses me too, that we can walk forever and ever eastwards, or forever and ever westwards, and never actually get to the point that's called east or west. So far have our sins been removed from us, never to be remembered against us, which is, again, what it's all about, what our Christian life is all about, that we are forgiven by this merciful God. And then something that really struck me about this chapter was it says that God knows our frailty. Yeah. We are just human beings. Yes, we trust in the Lord, but you know, sometimes we get that old devil speaking in our ear saying, you're not that good, you know. Do you think you're really a Christian? And saying things, I know where you've come from, he says. Best response is to tell him, but I know where you're going, mate. You're in trouble. I know what your future's all about. Never mind what my past is about. Your future looks pretty bleak where mine is looking great, because I'm going to that heavenly kingdom. I'm a citizen of heaven. But you, mate, you're going the other way. And then he'll run, because he doesn't like to be reminded of actually where he's going, because he's defeated already. And then the chapter says, his mercy is everlasting. His love is everlasting. We'll never run out of his mercy or his love. We're there for eternity with him in that wonderful place, full of joy and full of blessing forever. But at the end of the chapter, it's conditional. There is a condition. You don't just get this for free. It is free in a way, but we have to keep his covenant and keep his commandments. And our reward will be his mercy, his love, his everlasting love, because he is a merciful God. So, my thoughts.
I know that Louise has written something, because we share most things regarding the... And she's written... Get your glasses on then.
Verses 1 to 3. I praise the Lord and I want to serve him always. I want to always remember all that he has done for me. I want to bless the Lord at all times. I thank the Lord for I am his child and for this family of the Lord. I have Harvest Field Fellowship. Amen.
She read verses 1 to 3. You got? Can you read verses 1 to 3?
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That was sneaky. That was really sneaky, that. Okay. Well, it obviously, the East is from the West. It's in a lot of Christian music, a lot of Christian songs. And it was one of the first songs I heard when UCB started and I first became a Christian. And it stuck with me because it's infinity. Sorry. Yeah. I've got a big mouth. And the East is from the West. It's infinity. It's never ending, as David said. And the fact is that our wrongdoing, our sins are not, even the hidden ones are seen by God. There is nothing hidden from him and nothing that he doesn't forgive. As long as we play our part and obey his commandments and seek repentance. And the only other little bit that I'd got was in regard to verse 20. Bless the Lord ye his angels that excel in strength. His angels who are all around us and are there to support us on a day-to-day basis. They are his ministers. And it's something that's often overlooked or seen as something mystical of a modern world that actually has been there since the beginning of time.
And who brought time into being? Was it, that's right. In the beginning, God. I don't know when that was, but he was there at the beginning. But then when he made creation, he then brought a time factor into our world. For even it was evening and morning of the first day. So we got what we call our 24-hour day. Whether they recognized it in the Garden of Eden or not, I don't know. But it got light and dark like it does for us now. And that's something that God brought in. I didn't realize that until only a few months ago when I was looking at creation again. Realized that God is a God, not a, our God is a God, a timeless person, timeless personality, timeless one who loves us. He's our Heavenly Father that cares for us beyond anything we can imagine. But he also, he doesn't have a time clock in heaven. He's from everlasting to everlasting, as the Psalm says. He doesn't have a time clock in heaven. He didn't, but so that's why sometimes we think, have you heard our prayers, Lord? Of course he has. He sent the answer, but it takes, for us, there's a time factor, but for him, there's no time factor. It's immediate. Have you got something to say, Joan? No, not this week. I'm sure that Daniel has.
Has anybody else got anything to share? Praise God. All right, I'm going to... Thank you, David. Praise God. Praise God. It's a beautiful psalm, this, isn't it? Psalm 103. And when we read the psalm, it's very clear this is a psalm of thanksgiving. It's a psalm of worship. You know, and with all these famous modern worship songs and also a lot of traditional hymns that's been written from this psalm. And one of the ones that we sing most of the time is, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. So there's a couple of thoughts I'm going to draw out from this psalm. But more than the psalm itself, I want to draw out a couple of thoughts from the author himself who wrote the psalm, David. And most of us are already aware with a little bit of background of where David comes from. You know, David's a shepherd boy. And he gets anointed by who? Samuel. To be the king of Israel. But he anoints him at that time when there was already another king on the throne. And his name was King Saul. Very good. Yes, his name was King Saul. And when David was serving King Saul, there was loads of things he had to go through. His heart was right. He loved the Lord. He loved King Saul. You know, but a lot of things happened during that period of him serving King Saul. And him being in battles and winning lots of battles and wars. And when we read this psalm, it sort of like highlights some of the things, you know. David himself, although we picture David as this perfect boy, he wasn't. He did a lot of wrong things as well. And when we read 1 Samuel, we see that David committed adultery as well. Not only that, but, you know, he made his best warrior die in the war battle as well, just to cover up his sin. Then we see Prophet Nathan coming up to David and challenging David. And in the end, what happens? His sin gets exposed. But as far as east is from the west, That's how far he has removed our transgressions from us, he writes. Amen. So a couple of things I just want to draw out from David. You see, I've just been meditating a lot these days, especially this week, God has been really speaking to me about seasons. You see, we go through different seasons. There are seasons where we flourish. There are seasons where we feel like everything's dry and nothing's happening. There are seasons where we're like, yes, Lord, I love you. I want to thank you. Everything's going well, success, career, everything's great. But there are seasons where everything's not so great. And what this psalm teaches us is to worship God in spite of whatever our season. Doesn't matter what season we go through, this psalm teaches us to have this attitude of worship. This attitude of worship, this attitude of thanksgiving. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That is a powerful, powerful statement. See, when you're going through a tough time, let them words come out of your mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When you're going through a great season, let them words come out of your mouth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. In all seasons, in all times, I will bless you. See, there was three things I wanted to bring out. First thing is this. Remember the promises of the one who called you. Remember the promises of the one who called you. See, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David that day. But when Samuel said, bring all your sons to Jesse, he brought all his sons except for David. Even his father did not see David as a capable one to become a king. See, it does not matter how people see you. The real question is, do you know who you are in Jesus? Do you know your true identity? Do you know what God has called you to do? See, each and every one of us, we carry this identity in us. But the things of the world distorted our identity so much so that we've forgotten who we really are. And now we go on social media and we see all these pictures. And then we compare ourselves with all these people on social media who we've never met. David was not focused on what he wanted other people to think about him. He was just focused on serving God and being obedient to God and to actually really living a life of integrity. And in him living the life of integrity, all these things followed him. He wasn't there to impress people. He wasn't there to impress the crowd. He was there to worship the Lord. I will bless you, Lord. He was in the fields tending the sheep. I will worship you, Lord. He was in the palace as a king. I will worship you, Lord. He was in the battle zone. In battles, I will worship you, Lord. I will bless your name. I will bless your name. Because he remembered not just the promises, but the promises of the one who called him. Amen. He remembered the promises of the one who called him. The second thing I want to bring out is this. David served where he was planted. David served faithfully wherever he was planted. See, David wasn't thinking palace in his head. No. He was happy with where God had placed him. In the fields, tending the sheep. So what would you say? He was protecting his sheep. He was protecting, he was fighting bears and all sorts. You know, he was serving. He was giving his 100% wherever he was. See, the most important question and the most important thing that God sees is God sees our heart. See, I've been challenging myself lately on this very issue. My heart. I need to keep my heart right. Church, we need to keep our heart right. See, it doesn't matter whatever people throw at you. See, it's how we respond that will show our Christ-likeness. See, we have no control over what we receive because people... Let me rephrase that. In what way? In one way, we have control, but in other way, we have no control. See, we have control over what we receive in us, but we have no control over what people say to us. People will say to us all things, good and bad. You know, people will call you names. People will spread rumors, gossips, and all sorts, you know. But the main thing is, how are we reacting? How are we responding to what is being thrown at us? See, David, when he was there, although he might have felt a bit of rejection from his own brothers and from his own father, he served and gave his 100%. Amen. He served and he gave his 100%. In the palace, he was serving King Saul. Even though King Saul wanted to kill him, he still gave his 100%. He gave his all. And when he was fighting Goliath, all the Israelites were scared, this Philistine. But yet David was so committed that his heart was right and he was ready. You see, when our heart is right in the Lord, we always stay ready. Serve where you have been planted. He was committed. He gave his 100%. And you see, that's how I want to live my life as well. And when I read this, you know, when I read lots of Psalms, in fact, I see that David was struggling a lot of times. And his way of outpouring his heart was writing these Psalms. Penning down what he was feeling on the inside. You see, and all these things that he penned, which was coming from his heart, is now helping us to reflect on the love of God. And lastly, when I was reading this, what came was this third thing. Don't be distracted, stay focused. Don't be distracted, stay focused. See, David was wronged by the king whom he served with his life. And there might be a lot of things going in his head. But you know, the thing, it says in the scripture, 1 Samuel 24, David did not harm Saul. Even though Saul tried to harm David, David did not harm Saul. You know, even in the times of the Bible, there was this saying, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. See, and it's just, you push up past all of that. And you and me, church, we have to stand on this conviction that the world is messy and the world is going to be messy. And life is tough. You see, in general, there are going to be lots of hardships that will come our way. You see, when we come to Jesus, everything's not going to be okay. When we come to Jesus, we will still have to live our life. We will still have to face the daily things, the ordinary things that we face on a daily, regular basis. But what will change is the attitude of our hearts and how we respond when the things of the world is being thrown at us. Our response is still so important. And there is a season. There is a season for everything. And what I want to encourage us with this evening is this. First thing, church, let's remember the promises of the one who called us. Let's remember the promises of the one who called us. Don't give up. Remember the promises of the one who has called you. Don't give up. You know, forget the past. Just move on. Remember the one who has called you. He loves you. What you did yesterday is irrelevant. It's done. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you that you've removed all these transgressions from me. And now I will start fresh. Bless the Lord. Amen. Let's make that statement every morning. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Every morning, church, let's challenge ourselves to do that. In fact, I'm going to challenge myself to do that. So tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm going to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You know, my wife will be like, what's wrong with you? What's going on? But bless the Lord, oh my soul, amen. And all that is with me, bless his holy name. And secondly, serve where you have been planted. Church, wherever you have been planted, serve. Give your 100%. If God's called you to be a father, give your 100% to your child. If God's called you to be a mother, give your 100% to your child, your children. But whatever responsibility God has given you, give your 100%. Amen. Give your 100%. It's just whenever we talk about ministry, we always talk about platform. But you raising up your child, that's a ministry itself. You looking after your wife, that's a ministry itself. And wives, you looking after your husband, that's a ministry itself. And it's tough. It's a heavy ground. But that's what it is. We have to serve and we have to give our 100%. Amen. I'm not getting much of an amen with that, but amen. Praise God. And thirdly, don't be distracted. Stay focused. Let's not be distracted. Stay focused. You know, beginning of this year, I wrote loads of goals down for this year, and I'm staying focused. Although I might not see a lot of them things being fulfilled, but I'm staying focused. You know, you see, I'm staying focused. I'm believing God for these miracles, for these healings. Amen. And church, let's continue to do so. Let's not get distracted. Let's stay focused. Whatever goals and visions and promises God's given you, don't forget about them. Hold on to them. In spite of whatever the season, hold on to them. So your season might be good, your season might be flourishing, prospering, not so prospering, whatever the seasons, hold on to them and trust me on this. God will bring it into fulfillment. Because even at times when we're not faithful, He is faithful and able. Amen. Faithful and able in Jesus' name.